Hello, and welcome to the Jim Baker Family Show, coming to you from the village of Morningside, USA, nestled in the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Today, our special guests are researchers, teachers, authors, and the hosts of Unraveling Revelation, Derek and Sharon Gilbert. Our co-host today is Maricela Woodall. And now, live from Gray Street at Morningside, USA, here's your host, my husband,
my dad, Ricky Baker.
Hey, you're watching Jim Baker's PTL Television Network. You heard my wife and my little daughter, Jacqueline Baker. She's 4 years old. We love Jacqueline, so that's who that was. Today we have an exciting program for you today. You're not going to want to touch that dial, swipe up on that screen, go to another app. Today is a show you're going to want to pay attention to. We have Derek and Sharon Gilbert with us here today.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for being
here. So glad to be here.
You guys are only a couple hours or maybe an hour and some change down the road.
We're about 45 minutes.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, we need to have you back more often then.
Yeah.
We love having Derek and Sharon with us. The PTL Television Network is proud to bring people like Derek and Sharon here. Why? Because we want to bring them to give the uncensored truth.
Amen.
We don't want to say, hey, you can tell your truth, but you just can't tell these parts of it. Friend, the truth must be set free in America.
Amen.
We cannot have our rights being taken away from us. You know what? We have forefathers who fought for the freedom of speech here in our country, and we will use the freedom of speech until Jesus rips through those clouds to come back for us again. You know, the PTL Television Network is growing. We're constantly trying to expand. We had a hit in 2020, but you know what? Sometimes you have to have a little fallback, but God always has a comeback. And I want to say thank you to our faithful partners who have continued to strive with us, who have continued to pray with us, have continued to donate to the ministry so that we can continue to broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. You are truly our friend, and I want to say thank you to you. Pastor Jim Baker, I was just with him the other day. We were just with him over at his house. What event was it? It was Memorial Day. If you're watching in TV land, this is probably a few weeks from Memorial Day, but it was just a couple days ago for us, and we were with him. I got to spend some time with him, and he always asks, how are the partners doing? Are you taking care of the partners? Are you making sure that you are pouring into them the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you bringing them the most relevant news?
Amen.
And I want to say, yes, Pastor Jim, we are absolutely doing that. Why? Because we have his vision for the ministry. His blueprint that he laid out is still the blueprint we are following today. His roadmap is still the roads in which we are traveling on. Friend, your friend, Pastor Jim Baker, loves you dearly. He's going to be back on this show here in a couple days. He's going to do shows as he has the strength to do them. He's recovering. He's wanting to walk more. He's wanting to exercise more, but he wants to let you know that he loves you dearly, and he wants to thank you for supporting the PTL Television Network and the Jim Baker Family Show from the bottom of his heart.
You know, Ricky, I just have to say, it's so I love how God works. Today, someone called me that's very close to us, and they said, I have a word for you and Ricky and the ministry. And I said, okay. I said, yes, I'm ready. Look how God just worked, because you and I have not had a chance to even discuss this yet. But the word that they said was Habakkuk 2, verse 2. And the Lord answered me, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but it speaks of the end and does not lie. If it delays, wait for it. It will surely come, and it will not delay.
Amen.
And the word encouragement that they gave us for our family and our ministry, they said, listen, Pastor Jim has been a visionary for centuries. He has literally paved the way.
That's right.
We're celebrating his 64th year of ministry during our 4th of July event coming up. And they said, Pastor Jim has been a man of great vision. God has always given him vision, and he gave us that vision.
That's right.
You know, when people ask you, what is your mission statement? Typically, they say it should be just two sentences.
We have 2 pages.
No, we have 2 pages worth of a mission statement, which is the vision for Morningside and the Jim Baker Show, the PTL Family Network. And so when that person called me this morning, they said, listen, it may seem like you have gone through delays. It may seem like the ministry has been, you know, hit with warfare and different attacks and different things that they said, but guess what? Wait patiently upon the Lord, for there is an appointed time where the vision that God gave Pastor Jim, the full vision, and I began to think, Ricky, I said, the vision, the greatest thing that we are holding on to as a family that we talk about often is that Pastor Jim said one day Morningside will be a place where revival will Amen. Break through. Many prophets have prophesied that this would become an epicenter, a revival, and be a part of the great awakening that the nation would see. And so that's what I'm holding on to. But that was the word that someone called just this morning and said, be encouraged. They said, encourage Ricky.
Amen.
Ricky, I just want to tell you, you're doing an awesome job. Amen. And you are, you know, truly, God has called you.
Amen.
But I know your heart. And I know that even as Pastor Jim was given a vision, you love that vision and you believe in it as well. And so we're just excited for what God's doing here at Morningside. But I know for us, we're like, we're not giving up.
Oh, never.
We're like, God, our family, we've come together even on Memorial Day. I took a picture of Dad with all his grandkids and I said, listen, this is not just about us. This is about lives and souls and legacy and generations. The Lord shall tarry, generations and generations to come. And so we're excited for what God's doing. But I just want to say to every partner who has ever given into this ministry, you know, there have been times where it seemed like, Lord, is this ever going to happen? But guess what? Morningside is here. It's standing. It's open. We're still broadcasting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's God's faithfulness. And I believe that's for someone who's watching today.
That's right.
Don't, you know, wait upon the Lord. Don't be discouraged in your waiting. Sometimes that happens. But the Lord is faithful. And whatever vision that he has given you, whatever it is that you have written down, I believe with all my heart that in these last days, the Lord is going to make a way for these things to come to pass.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody watching right now, you are discouraged because you have been walking this path faithfully and you're saying, well, Lord, where is the finish line? Friend, I want to let you know the finish line is near.
Amen.
Continue to walk forward. You may have fallen, but get back up, friend.
Yes.
Continue to progress forward towards the cross. That is our ultimate goal, friend.
Right.
Why? Because eternity with Christ is the most important thing in this world, friend.
Lord.
Yes, this world has its pains, it has its trials, it has its tribulations. There will be conflicts around us that make us question what's happening, but things that we can never question is God and his word, friend. He has written this book for us, and this is the infallible word of God. This is the way to heaven, the path that lights our way so that we can make sure we are secured for eternity with Christ Jesus. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children and walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. Friend, we are to imitate Christ. It is vital for us in these days that we're living in that we are constantly looking at ourselves, self-reflecting and saying, am I walking as Christ would be walking? And you can only do that if you have the prompting of the Holy Spirit. So if you're not a believer, today is the day. It's not tomorrow, it's today, friend, because tomorrow is not guaranteed for anybody. There has never been a better day to give your life to the Lord. Join a good Bible-believing church. Go get baptized. Go tell everyone on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, YouTube, wherever you have a social media outlet, tell them, I am now a believer in the only way to heaven, Christ Jesus. And friend, I promise you, the Lord will honor you for that. I want to tell you that he will always honor you when you honor him, friend.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of honor, we want to thank you guys. You guys have been a pivotal part of this ministry. You have always honored, even through hard times, you have never turned your back on the PTL Television Network, nor the Jim Baker Family Show. I know Pastor Jim Baker regards you both as close friends. I want to say thank you for standing with the ministry through everything.
We love your dad so, so very much.
And he loves
you. Pray for him every day.
Yeah.
Pray for you every day. Because the Lord is working through your ministry. And it began with Jim saying, here I am, send me.
It starts with a yes. That's right. Everything will start with a yes, friend. And if you're watching today and you're saying, Derek and Sharon Gilbert are here at the PTL Television Network. And who are Derek and Sharon? I want to give you a quick bio of who they are. They are researchers. They are teachers. They are authors. TV and podcast hosts, and they both work closely with Joe Horn, which they're over there in Crane, Missouri. They're part of the Skywatch TV family and Defender publishing team. Now, all of their new programs are on their app and Roku channel, GHTV. Now, if I'm not wrong, that stands for Gilbert House TV.
Exactly.
That's right. So if somebody wants to download that, how do they go on just an Apple device, just
App
an Android
Store,
device?
Or? iOS, Android, Amazon, Kindle Fire. We've got Roku, Apple TV versions. Very same developer that does the PTL app. In fact.
All right. We'll get it put up on the screen, get a picture of it so you guys can see it so you know exactly which app to download. You know, in my time with Pastor Jim Baker, one thing that he's been saying is he's been having more and more dreams lately, more dreams than he has ever had. So we're like, Dad, you got to write all of these dreams down. But, you know, one thing he says he's consistently dreaming about is heaven. And what a beautiful thing, friend. It's the thing we're all striving for, eternity with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have a video, actually, from him, and he's reading from Revelation describing heaven. And I want to play this for you to encourage you and edify your faith today. So take a look at this from your friend, Pastor Jim Baker.
Romans 11:25 says, I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of this Gentiles has come in. And so will Israel be saved. Amen. Okay, quickly, let's go to Revelation 26. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death. The second death has no power over those who have been born again. Second death is the lake of fire. It has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. 2 Peter 3:10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass with a loud, terrible noise, and everything in them will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be exposed to judgment. Since everything around us is going to melt away, what holy, godly lives you should be living. You should look forward to that day and hurry it along, the day when God will set the heaven on fire and the elements will melt away in the flames. But we are looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth. He has promised a world where everyone is right with God. Amen.
Amen.
Revelation 21,
Amen.
Quickly, let's go there.
Thank
Verse
you, Jesus.
1, I believe it is. 21:1. And then verses 4 through 5 of that. And I saw a new heaven, sky, and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. The earth has gone through great change from massive earthquake plate shifts, and there are no mountains, and the oceans are gone. The earth is now like a greenhouse, as it was perhaps during the time of Adam and Eve's day. And then it goes on, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Neither sorrow. Neither crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. This is the end of the book, people. This is where we're headed. This is what God has for us. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Revelations 22:3, seven glories of the redeemed. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, his visage, countenance, presence, appearance, his person, and his name and authority shall be in their forehead or face, and there shall be no night there. Oh, I'm glad there's no night. we don't even need to sleep, probably. And they need no candles,
no
neither
lamp.
Light of the sun.
Right.
For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. You know, Revelation begins, did you know, with grace. And the book of Revelation ends with grace.
Amen. You know, one of the things I have always loved about my dad, Pastor Jim Baker, is that the book of Revelation is never meant to be a scary book. That's it is a promise for the believer to know, friend, we are secured eternally in Christ. Yes, there will be trials. Yes, there will be tribulation. Yes, there will be scary moments on the earth. But where is our feet firmly planted? On the foundation that is the sacrifice Christ made so that we could be grafted into his family, friend. And you are a part of that. Amen. You know, you both were recently in the wonderful country of Israel. Now, you guys chose to go to Israel during a time of war. Now, can you tell us, what was this about? You had mentioned earlier in the year it was a solidarity mission, but you guys went there, you experienced there for a week plus. Can you tell us about the experience and why you chose to go during this time and not wait until maybe a war was over?
Well, our good friend Aaron Lipkin, who's been on this program, who runs the tour company that we partner with, they had reached out to us and a number of other ministries to invite us to come during this time to show solidarity with the people of Israel. And we thought that was a wonderful idea. So we put out the call to our followers, our friends, and we got an intrepid group of seven other people from three continents who joined us, UK, New Zealand, here in the United States. And so a little group of nine, which
that we called the Fellowship of the King.
Yeah, reminded us of Lord of the Rings, you know, the group of nine, you know, the three humans, the three hobbits, the three. So we. I think we were the hobbits.
I like how you said we to play it safe. There we go.
But we traveled to a number of sites that would not be on a typical tour. Some of the places we normally would go are in the north, and they're off limits right now because they're within range of Hezbollah rockets. But we specifically wanted to visit some of the communities that were attacked on October 7th to see with our own eyes what had happened. And Lipkin Tours made some wonderful suggestions about, you know, some other things to see. We went to Hostage Square in Tel Aviv. We visited a rehabilitation center and visited with IDF soldiers who are recuperating. So it was basically we wanted to see what's going on in Israel without the filter of the corporate media.
Yes, but at the hospital where we visited with those soldiers was a former hostage. A young woman named Maya. And she indeed, I think that was a great name because she's very strong.
Amen.
She was released on day 50. Her brother was released on...
shortly thereafter.
Wow.
Yeah, Ittai.
She was injured when she was taken hostage, not well cared for by Hamas, as you can imagine. And she is still recovering to this day, physically.
Wow.
Now that emotional recovery, that will take a long, long time.
Probably her whole life.
What is the temp? You know, some people are wondering, what is the temperature of the people there in Jerusalem, in Israel? Because the mainstream media clearly is not telling the truth on what this is. They're saying Israel is rarely getting attacked by Hamas and Hezbollah. They are the aggressors in this situation that, you know, we see the Israelis dancing and parading through the streets as they kill innocent people in Palestine. This is what the mainstream media is saying. But you guys were there firsthand. You witnessed it with your own eyes. As you said, there's trauma that's going to take, you know, potentially, you know, decades and generations to overcome. What's the temperature of the Israel right now?
Well, the areas that are directly impacted by the war right now are the areas in the north along the Lebanese border and the areas bordering on Gaza, areas that are within range of rockets and RPGs. We saw this very clearly when we got to our hotel in Jerusalem. The cities in the center of Jerusalem, in the Galilee, for the most part, are untouched. Judea and Samaria, which the world calls the West Bank, pretty much untouched.
With the exception of Iran.
That one attack by Iran got close to
Jerusalem. But
Other than that, But for the most part, life goes on in Israel. Now, the one thing that really struck us, we got to our hotel in Jerusalem, and unlike previous trips, we've been there four times. This was our fourth visit. Previous visits, the hotels in Jerusalem would be full of tourists. People from all over the world, Africa, China, Europe, North America.
Our age, for the most part.
Yeah, and this time it was mostly families who'd been displaced from their homes along the Lebanese border. There are 60,000 people who live in the north, in the Upper Galilee, who and the Golan Heights, who've had to move away from Hezbollah rockets. So we had a lot of families there, little children running through the hotel and making, and the hotel staff, we're so sorry, we're so sorry. No, we think this is wonderful.
Yeah, they have a safe place to go, praise
Hearing
God.
Laughter, watching these children that are going to school and trying to, you know, you've got young kids. Imagine them in a war.
Right.
And you have to leave your house and you have to go to this hotel and you have to all live in a small hotel room.
Right.
And yet they seemed so normal.
That's right.
They
doing their
so
best.
Happy.
Yeah. And going to school, even though now it's not the school they would normally go to. They're going to school. They're there with their little backpacks in the hotel lobby every morning. And so that was the one thing that really struck us as different, at least in Jerusalem. But as you go through Jerusalem and Tel Aviv, you see people going to work, going about their business, businesses doing their best to accommodate the fact that 10% of the population has been called up by the IDF.
Yes.
But as far as the mood of the people, there are certainly political divisions in Israel, just like there are here in the United States. We saw this in billboards that our guide had to translate for us, but essentially blaming Netanyahu for everything that's going on. Mm. And some of that protest is being funded by outside actors.
It's like propaganda.
Essentially. Just like we see here in the United States.
Yeah, that's right. You see it in any major country, there will always be propaganda. Mm-hmm. That's why you must have the Holy Spirit, friend, to ensure you are not falling prey to propaganda. It is vital that you walk with the Holy Spirit intimately, daily.
Amen.
You know, a lot of people, like I said, their primary source of information is the mainstream media. That is, it's hard for them to go to a third party where, you know, they don't know if the source is accurate, it's true, if someone's making it up. So they have to turn to mainstream media. Mainstream media has made Israel the aggressor in these situations. Right. Is Israel the aggressor? You were there. Are they the ones going out? Are they the ones attacking? Is this true or not?
What we've seen, and of course, Israel is undertaking operations in Gaza.
As a defense, that's right.
Agreed.
They're going after terrorists.
Absolutely.
Right. And
that are terrorizing their own people in Gaza.
You know what they've done, they've really worked hard to move civilians out of the way.
Yes.
Far more than in any previous urban combat situation.
That's right.
When you compare anything that is even reasonably similar to what's going on in Gaza right now, the ratio of civilian casualties to Hamas terrorists is much, much lower than in, Raqqa in Syria, the U.S.-backed forces went against the Islamic State, or the Iraqi army going into Mosul to take out the Islamic State.
That's right.
Civilians who got in the way, sorry, you're in the wrong place, wrong time. Israel is literally opening humanitarian corridors and saying, okay, move to this area here. We won't attack over here. You'll be safe here. This is a safe zone.
That's right.
Now, as we're recording this, there was an airstrike against a couple of Hamas commanders who'd been identified through surveillance.
Mm-hmm.
And the reports coming out of Gaza, which were repeated by the corporate media without any critical thinking.
Yes.
They attacked a humanitarian zone, and that's why you've got 30, 40, 45, depending civilians, on the story, civilians who were killed. Turns out the actual strike took place more than a kilometer from the humanitarian zone, and that the secondary fire that led to civilian casualties was caused by the relatively small munitions used by the Israeli Air Force, triggering ammunition that was being stored on site near the Hamas commanders.
That's right.
But again, the corporate media picks up the story from Hamas and the Gazan Health Ministry, repeats it without any critical analysis.
That's right.
There have been some statistical analyses that have been done of the casualty reports coming out of Gaza and shown that statistically speaking, those numbers are impossible. It's like every day there's a consistent number of people who are getting killed. That's not the way war works.
That's
right. And you would know this better than we would.
That's right.
You know, some days when the fighting is intense, you get more casualties. Other days when there's a lull, but the reports coming out of Gaza, it's like plus or minus 15% every single day.
Like
that is just statistically, that is impossible.
Right.
You know what's crazy to me is that we have, believers who are turning their back on Christians. Believer, if you are a lover of the Bible, a lover of Jesus, we must continue to support Israel. That doesn't mean we support everything every politician does in Israel, but Israel is still the apple of God's eye.
Amen.
And I want to say this, and I have a lot of people probably come at me for this, but the Hamas leadership of the terrorist organization in which they are cowards for hiding amongst civilians. That's what they do.
Absolutely.
They do it on purpose. It's by design, friend. You think that they're just encamping in hospitals and humanitarian aid facilities just because it's the most convenient spot? No, they are doing this on purpose because they know if they were to be eliminated, then it would be easily turned on Israel as they are attacking humanitarian aid.
Well, even beyond that, they want to encourage more suffering. They want to make the people of Gaza suffer, because the more suffering that can be broadcast on the BBC or CNN or MSNBC, the more world opinion turns against Israel. So the longer Hamas drags this out, the greater world pressure
hate
comes
Israel.
And the more hate towards Israel.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that, you know, people are saying, well, this is just a war over land. Is this a physical war? Is this more of a spiritual war? What is this that we're facing?
It's both.
Yeah.
Spiritual is what's driving the physical, right. Because this is all about the fallen realm wanting to erase the apple of God's eye from the land.
Yes. Amen. And with the, going back to a phrase that appears in Isaiah chapter 14, which is the one that includes that famous line, "How art thou fallen from heaven, yes. O Lucifer, son yes. of the morning?" Right. He wanted to establish his mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. The mount of assembly, Har Moed, is the phrase there. This is a concept that was well known in the ancient world. It's the mountain where, think Mount Olympus in Greek mythology.
Yes.
Okay, it's where the gods congregate, it's where they meet. This was a concept that was well known in the ancient world, and Isaiah, the divine rebel in Isaiah 14, wanted to establish his own personal Mount Olympus in the far reaches of the north. Har Moed is the phrase that John, in the book of Revelation, transliterated into Greek as Har Megiddon or Armageddon. Mm-hmm. It's not Megiddo. It's the Mount of Assembly, and mm-hmm. God's Mount of Assembly is Zion, Jerusalem, and that's why the Temple Mount wow. is such a point mm-hmm. of contention in this war. Yes, Sharon's absolutely right. It is a spiritual war for control of God's Mount of Assembly, but it is playing out in the physical as this war for control of the Temple Mount.
That's right. You know, we've seen reports. This is a Fox News report. I really want you to watch this. It's, you know, they say if Hamas would accept a ceasefire, none of this would happen. I want you to watch this. It's just less than a minute long.
Well, my first reaction is that if Hamas would accept a ceasefire, none of this would have happened. Instead, what took place was that Hamas, trying to show they still can operate in Gaza, launched a relatively small attack, but worrying because it came from multiple locations. Israel was right to go ahead and target those two Hamas operatives. That was a legitimate military target. Unfortunately, it led to the fire that you see. And again, if Hamas would accept the ceasefire that Egypt and Qatar and the U.S. and Israel and so many others want them to accept, we wouldn't see any of this going on. But hey, it's time for Biden and Israel to find a way to wrap up this military operation quickly and decisively restore Israel's security.
You know, we live in a world right now where we are seeing that we have world powers telling Israel that they are not allowed to properly defend themselves, which is insane. You were there. I want to ask two questions, if it's okay. One, are Christians still welcomed in Israel? Are they still accepted and loved? Because I know there's a point, you know, the Jewish people loved Christians. And two, are they bolstering their defenses? Should they be defending themselves more? Are they doing just the right amount of stuff for the people there in Israel?
Regarding Christians in Israel, yes, we are absolutely welcome in Israel. Whenever we would walk around, people would see the little lanyards we were wearing for the tour group, and they would say, well, where are you from? Who are you? And why are you here during a war?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
We told them that, you know, where we were from, but we said we're here because we want to know from you.
Amen. Yeah.
What is happening? We don't want a media group filtering it all. We want to hear from you what is going on and to let you know in return that we believers, we are Christians, but we are here for you.
Amen.
We believe in you. You are the apple of God's eye.
Amen.
And they would weep and they would hug our necks and they would thank us profusely. Everywhere we went. Some of them even wanted pictures with us.
Yeah. Amen.
One of the most impactful days that we had, we spent a couple of hours volunteering with a ministry in Jerusalem called Bridges for Peace.
Oh, yeah. I know Bridges for Peace. That's right.
Well, we were there at their headquarters. We helped pack some food baskets that are being delivered to Jews who made Holocaust survivors, but others who just recently made Aliyah from places where they may have had to leave everything behind, didn't have anything. And this was just another outreach by Christians to Jews saying, look, we understand we are grafted into this olive tree, but the tree's roots are Israel and the Jewish faith.
Yeah. Amen.
So now, you said earlier, and I agree wholeheartedly, we all need Jesus because he is the only way to get to heaven. There is no special dispensation for any particular group.
Amen.
But we also see in prophecies like Zechariah 12, where God will pour out a spirit of grace on the house of David. Friends, we are not the house of David. We are Japhethites, most of us. But the house of David will look on, and the scripture says, look on me, on him whom they have pierced and mourned. So a day is coming where they will turn. And of course, you can't get around the prophecy of the 12 tribes, the 144,000 witnesses.
Right. Look, if you're claiming that the church has replaced Israel, then which tribe are you?
Yeah, that's right. Which one of the 12 are you?
Yeah.
That's right. You know, I think it's important that the church supports Israel. It's why we have gone out of our way to ensure that we're, one, supporting Christian companies mm-hmm. who support Israel, and two, we're wearing it. We're wearing our faith daily. I was wearing mm-hmm. a shirt that says, I stand with Israel. We made a bunch of social media clips about it. People were just completely disregarding what I was actually saying in the clip, and they were just coming at the shirt. But you know what? That's okay, because Ricky Baker, the PTL Television Network, stands
Amen.
With
Amen.
Israel. Amen. The PTL Television Network stands with Israel. Yes. The Jim Baker Thank Family Lord. Show stands with Israel. It's why we have these. You know, we went yes. out and affiliate company called That's Steadfast right. American. Yes. They have a shirt called, it says, I Stand With Israel. I wear it everywhere I go. I wear it at Lowe's. I wear it to Freddy's, the drive-thru. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. I love that place. But we are, I'll wear it anywhere I go. Why? Because I want people to yes. see my faith. That's I want people right. to ask me questions. I've had people come up and say not nice things to me about the shirt, but you know what? That's okay. Why? Because it opens up the door that we can That's start it. Evangelism. Yes. We can say, hey, you know what? You've been fed lies through the mainstream media. Here are some actual facts about what's happening. Friend, it is time we as believers do not just cower to what the world is saying, but we stand up in faith. That's why, even if it's a t-shirt, yes. I'm going to wear it.
Yes, amen. And we have, Ricky, we've partnered with Steadfast American, and it's available on our website. They have this shirt, I Stand With Israel, available. And also, you can call our toll-free number. That's 1-888-988-1588. An incredible, credible Christian company who stands with Israel, along with our ministry as well here at the PTL Network. You can call that toll-free number. Also, I would encourage you, go to the website, because as you're seeing on the screen, they don't just have one t-shirt. They have multiple sizes, multiple designs available for our partners, and they're strategically always adding new products to bless our partners. And so you can do that by going to our website, jimbakershow.com.
That's right. You know, it says there on the screen, it says Pray for America. Yeah. They have another shirt that says Faith. I mean, these are just simple ways to get out there. And me and Darren, he's the head of security here at Morningside. He's a former police chief here in the state of Missouri. But we're saying, you know what? We are simply planting seeds in people. Yes. Yes, it's great whenever you can have that conversation that is the conversion moment that says, hey, let's say the sinner's prayer right now, join the family. But a lot of times, believer, we're planting
That's
seeds.
Right.
We are watering the plant. We're harvesting. There's a process to all of this. But at the end of the day, friend, it's not you or I who saves anyone. It is the Lord, yes. Lord Jesus Christ alone who saves people. We're pointing them in the direction of the cross. And sometimes it's as simple as wearing a t-shirt that starts a conversation. We must be bold in our faith, yeah. friend. Especially in these times we're living in, you know, we're living in crazy times. You can go on social media and see that things are constantly shifting, friend. I mean, anyone here have a social media account? We have people with Facebooks, Instagrams, Twitters. Yeah. We know that it's kind of getting to the point where they're calling them deep fakes videos. We don't know if it's an actual person talking, if it's an AI generated video. And AI seems to be overtaking the world as this is happening. We're seeing AI propaganda of what's happening in Israel as well. I mean, we're seeing things that are not actually happening. Voices, they're making President Benjamin Netanyahu say things that he actually never said. And it really looks like he's sitting there in his office saying that. I mean, we as believers, like I said, it boils down to we have to have the Holy Spirit. You have to have the prompting of the Holy Spirit inside of you. So something's tugging at your heart saying, brother or sister, you're watching this video. While it may look real and while it may feel real, it is not real. But, you know, Fox News, they reported that a year ago, 50% of the people they surveyed believe that they would lose their jobs to AI in the future. Now, Elon Musk is saying the same thing. Now, I have a question. Is AI really capable of deceiving people? And are they even capable of taking people's jobs one day?
I would say yes to both.
Yes.
Because these large language models, these neural networks that are coming up with these things have gotten to a point where they're so believable that people interacting with chatbots have been fooled into thinking they're actually talking to a real person on the other mm-hmm. side of the chat. They tend to hallucinate those AIs and return some strange search results on occasion. But for the most part, these things are so skilled, so advanced, I guess is the way to put yeah. it, that they can be used as a deception. We've talked about this in our program, Unraveling Revelation, that artificial intelligence may be used to fulfill the prophecy that life is given to the image of the beast. And the yeah. image, you know, is a term in the Greek that refers to an idol. You know, one worships.
It's the word icon.
Something that gives locality to the spirit being worshipped. You give life to it. Okay, how are you going to do that? Well, an animatronic creature, perhaps, but something that is fueled by an artificial intelligence. What's really interesting about these AIs is that honest researchers, and we've gotten some pushback on this when we made this claim, that artificial intelligence researchers admit they don't really know what goes on inside the neural networks,
right.
inside
they
the black box.
That's right.
They know that input goes in, output comes out. If the output's not what they like, they tweak the input. Wow. But what happens between there in that neural network, the large language model, they don't really understand what's going on. And people said, no, it's just that you don't understand. It's, no, seriously.
Yeah, quantum physics scientists in the world don't understand what's happening.
They don't.
Exactly.
Eric Schmidt, who used to be CEO of Google,
I think,
yes.
recently gave an interview. It was just posted to the internet yesterday. And he talked about these large language models that are known as, in the vernacular, agents. These agents are starting to talk to one another.
Mm-hmm.
They have the ability to write code. In fact, they're now being used to replace human beings mm-hmm. so that the agent itself will write the code that's required, because
right.
oftentimes it's millions of lines. These agents, as they begin to talk to one another, Schmidt said, they might actually begin to make plans with one another.
Yes.
We read a book many years ago. We've talked about it a number of times, called Avogadro Corp. Avogadro is just a monstrously big number, just like Google, is a monstrously big number. In the novel, and written by someone who worked for one of these big corporations, a Google kind of corporation, the agents worked against each other. In book two of his series, they go to war. But in book one of the agents becomes so intelligent and self-aware that it takes over. Mm. It begins to send emails to individuals and tell them, this is going on. You need to go and take care of this. It would order parts for itself. It set up server farms on ships out at sea.
Hmm. So it couldn't
was
be shut
taking
off.
Over the world.
Yeah, it was manipulating the wow. stock market to raise the money that it needed to build its own server mm-hmm. farms.
Wow.
It's plausible enough, again, because the author of the book, William Hertling, was a, or perhaps still is, a tech expert working in the field. So it was really, really illustrative of where it's going. And it starts with just something that we already have now. Anyone who uses an email program like Gmail or Yahoo Mail or
yes.
Hotmail, you get those little prompts that say, okay, you know, you could basically have the AI generate a response for you. And that's how this started. But in the novel, he took it to its logical
that's right.
end, which is that this thing basically was setting up its own secure and independent existence. Mm-hmm. Well, I thought it was interesting. I was watching a presentation by a couple of tech experts yesterday. Our friend Vicky Joy Anderson sent this to me, where they referred to it now as a generative large language model
mm-hmm.
or golem.
No.
Oh, wow.
A golem in Jewish mythology is a lifeless body
wow.
into which life is given. As though life given to the image of the beast.
Wow.
Golems. So
you know, we're
can't
seeing,
make this stuff up.
Like I said, we're seeing a mass deception. One thing I know that is being used for, people are using AI video generators to create UFOs or to create, you know, alien sightings, and they're looking hyper realistic. You know, what are the chances that, I mean, I don't know. Do you guys believe in UFOs? Do you think that they're real? Do you think it's demonic? Because I've heard so many different things in the church. Where do you guys stand with UFOs?
Well, co-authored a book some years back, and you just happened to very conveniently have it here on the panel, on the desk, The Day the Earth Stands Still, and actually co-authoring a forthcoming book with Donna Howell and Allie Anderson called Destination Earth on the same subject. Yes, UFOs are real. No, they do not come from other planets.
Okay.
There is a small percentage of these sightings that can't be explained away as a natural phenomenon.
Yes.
But there is no firm evidence that the Earth has been visited by extraterrestrials.
Okay.
Legitimate extraterrestrials. Now, if you want to call them inhuman entities, well, now you're talking Christianese.
Interdimensional?
Because, yeah, interdimensional. Perhaps? We've been visited by inhuman entities since the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
Yes.
But the reason it's a relevant topic, this may seem fringe or woo to a lot of people, a lot of Christians, a lot of pastors won't touch this subject with a 10-foot pole because, well, that's weird and people will think, you know. But the fact is that survey after survey shows that roughly a third of American adults believe that the Earth has been visited by extraterrestrials. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the George Barna surveys of what American Christians believe, I think the most recent showed that like 4% of American adults have a biblical worldview, And less than 20% of American self-professing Christians have a biblical worldview, which he defines as holding six key tenets of Christian theology, yeah. like Jesus was literally born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, Satan is a literal entity, not just a con, you know, things like that. Christianity 101, wow. less than 20% of professing evangelical born-again Christians have a biblical worldview. Other surveys show about two-thirds of American Christians have incorporated some type of New Age belief into their Christian.
How can you call yourself an actual Christian if you don't have a biblical worldview?
What the word means. Okay. So the bottom line, though, is this. If you've got a third of Americans believing we're being visited by literal aliens from, Zeta Reticuli, and only 4% with a biblical worldview, it means there are more of them than there are of us.
That's right.
Well, Derek and I have been podcasting and doing television for almost 20 years, and early on, we started talking about UFOs and things like that because I'd written a book that deals with that, a novel. And at the time, we were labeled tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theorists, really, really ultra-fringe. Now it's mainstream. You've got Fox News talking about it.
That's right. We're seeing that. You know, I love that you subtitled this, Unmasking the Old Gods Behind ETs, UFOs, and the Official Disclosure Movement. I love that you subtitle that. Why? Because we're unmasking the old gods. This isn't something new. This is old. Like you said, that has been happening since the beginning of time. This is a book we have here in stock, and we can offer this, too. Yes. I'm excited about this.
Yes, that's right, Ricky. We do. We have it available right now, The Day the Earth Stands Still. It's available, and it's for a $15 donation to our ministry, which includes shipping and handling. That will help bless the voice of the prophets here. And I also want to mention, too, and Derek, I want you to talk about this book, what it means, what it is that you went into, because you co-authored this as well with many other authors that were included in here. Josh Peck helped you write this book as well. But also, while I have your attention, listen, this is just, not only do we have Derek's book available, we have a little under 100 sets left that we found, Jared. We were doing inventory this year of the Red Wing Saga 6-book collection. I have an entire collection that's available right now for a $100 donation to the ministry. That's about $16 per book. Plus, we're also including shipping and handling in that offer.
Wow.
But if you've never read this incredible, it's based on historical fiction.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone who's sitting out there and you love historical fiction, I know many people may have this. But even if you want to gift this, this is an incredible collection and series.
This is a gift.
By Ms. Sharon Gilbert that she has written. And I was able, I was so excited because they said, we found 80 sets. We had them in our warehouse. And I said, I know it's just 80 sets, but we're going to go ahead and offer them. We're going to make them available. So you can call our toll-free number, 1-888-988-1588, to order the entire collection. Or you can also order Derek's book as well, The Day the Earth Stands Still. These are both available by calling our toll-free number or going to our website, jimbakershow.com.
Right, well, were talking about the old gods. I just really want to quickly, there is a connection that I actually make, a real connection between Jack the Ripper and what happened on Mount Hermon.
Really?
Yeah, Mount Hermon is...
In these books?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't make it up. They're actually... I found a connection.
Right.
Wow.
The fellow who discovered a stone, an inscription in a temple on the summit of Mount Hermon, which is the highest man-made place of worship on Earth to this day, 9,200 and some odd feet above sea level. This inscription on this stone, about 4 foot high, about 18 inches wide, 12 inches deep, originally, Charles Warren found that back in September of 1869, and it reads roughly, by order of the Most High and Holy God, those who swore an oath proceed from here. Well, the summit of Mount Hermon, according to the book of First Enoch, is where the 200 rebellious watcher-class angels came down, swore a mutual oath to corrupt humanity by commingling with human women and teaching us forbidden knowledge, things like that. 19 years later, Sir Charles Warren is in charge of the Jack the Ripper investigation.
Exactly.
Wow.
Can you imagine that? He had been up there surveying it. It turned out, as I get into in the book, that the reason that Great Britain was there in the first place was because they were trying to scope out and design roads and take over land, get everything set up honestly for the invasion of the land.
Wow.
Britain planned to take control away from the Ottoman Empire and control the Levant.
Wow. Yeah. Now, Derek, I have a question for you about this book, but Sharon, I'm going to get to you first because I want to ask you a question. These are novels.
They're novels.
So for somebody who has maybe, a grandson, granddaughter, son or daughter or themselves who enjoys reading novels, I mean, you can go to a large big box bookstore and find all types of novels, but typically they're filled with, grotesque things or filled with filth, things that we as believers don't necessarily want to be inputting. Would this be a gift for somebody who is in the world of looking for a new novel to start?
Well, I've heard from a lot of individuals who bought it for their children, and I would say, maybe eighth grade and up, because it does have some disquieting historical events that take place. But basically, I'm teaching spiritual warfare through fiction.
Amen.
And setting it, beginning with Jack the Ripper, because everybody, you don't have to be a Christian, right, everybody knows Jack the Ripper.
That's right, yep.
Worldwide. Start there, and then I'm leading my characters up to the creation of the country of Israel, the state of Israel. Mm. So this will go through 1948. Books 7 and 8 are available in our store, and 9 will be out later this summer, also available. And that gets us into 10, 11, 12, which are World War I, the interwar period, World War II, and the setup of Israel, and how the fallen realm do not want that to happen.
Wow. So that's available. That's incredible. I just want to tell you, this is exciting. Why? Because if you have a grandson, granddaughter, son or daughter, or if yourself loves novels, this is something you want to get. Why? We want to be, like you said, preparing spiritually. Our warfare isn't against physical people, friend. It may look like it, but it's not. We are fighting a war that is not flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle, friend. That's why the Bible says to put on the full armor of God. Friend, it's not just a cute Bible story you teach on Sunday mornings to a kid's class and then maybe regurgitate the information again before they go to bed. Friend, if you are 8 years old or if you are 88 years old, every single day you must be actively putting on the full armor of God. Why? The adversary goes around like a lion looking who he can devour. If you're not wearing the full armor of God, friend, you have weak points. That's why it's important to also get in a band of believers. Mm. Why? Because it's hard to watch your back when you're in the middle of warfare. But if you are with a friend and you have a friend, two or three individuals all back to back, you can fight warfare much better. Sometimes accountability is what you need, friend. You are going out there as a lone warrior. Yes, you're wearing the full armor of God, but accountability for what is behind you, what's next to you is important. Friend, we must band together as believers. Amen. We must get together as believers and say, you know what? Even if it's going to be hard, even if it's going to be ugly, we must fight for each other for the common goal that is Christ Jesus. Friend, that's a word for you. Make sure you have accountability in your life. It's vital. It's important. Every single day, I am constantly reaching out to men and brothers who I have accountability with. And I'm saying, you know what, friend? I am not doing well in this area, but I'm doing great in this area. Or friend, how are you doing? Okay, you're not doing well in this area, but you're doing great in this area. We must continue to fight with each other. Why? Because sometimes you have a crack in your armor, friend. Mm-hmm. Sometimes your back plate got hit and it's got a little crack in it. What do we need to do? We need to mend each other's armor. What does the Bible say? Those who are spiritual restore one another. Amen. Friend, that is what we as believers are called to do. If your friend falls in battle, pick them up. If your friend drops their sword in the middle of a fight and says, I can't continue on, let them know the goal is Christ and Christ alone. We must continue to fight this spiritual battle. Why? Because eternity is at stake, friend. We have eternity with Christ Jesus that waits around the corner. Like Paul says best, this life is simply a vapor. So make sure you know Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ, the only way to heaven as your personal Lord and Savior today. There's never been a better day
Amen
for it.
Amen to that. Well, Ephesians 6 gets into all of that, Amen. Of course. But I'll tell you what, our offensive weapon and defensive, sword of the Lord, that's the Bible, that is His Word.
Scripture.
And if you never read it,
how are you going to wield it?
How did
Jesus defeat Satan?
He used the word.
And that's one of the things I really, really appreciate about Sharon's approach to writing this series of novels. Victory is not achieved through weapons, physical weapons, through arms, and through physical warfare. It is through prayer. There is a prayer in book 5 by one of the characters who's a butler. He's a servant, but he's been invited into this inner circle who are doing battle against the secret societies trying to bring forth the Antichrist.
Mm. Inner circle of nobles, earls, dukes.
Right. And so here they invite the butler to give the opening prayer. Mm. And Mr. Baxter's prayer in book 5, just even thinking about it makes me weep because it is so powerful. But it is about how we do not do battle on the field with swords and armaments, but in the quiet of our prayer closet on our knees. And so that is what you learn from the Red Wing saga. And this is why I'm so proud to be married to this woman.
We love you guys. These are available. You can call us at 1-888-988-1588 or go to jimbakershow.com to get this. And if you want the other books, you can go onto your guys' website. Will you say that for me, where they can go get the other books?
Gilberthouse.org. And follow the link to the store there.
Amen. And we're going to be prayerfully looking and considering. We're going to try and get an affiliate program so we can offer it here at the Jim Baker Show. We would love to have that. Now, I want to ask you a question about this. We only have a few minutes left in the broadcast, but this is a question we get quite a bit, so I hope I don't put you on the hot seat here. Are all UFOs or ETs, you know, extraterrestrial things, are they all demonic?
I would say it's a mixture of demonic and fallen angelic. Mm. The physical realm. Angels can manifest, as the book of Hebrews tells us, that some have entertained angels unawares.
Yes.
We don't know sometimes that we're dealing with angelic being because they can appear in physical form. Mm. Demons cannot. They must possess or oppress
something.
The believer. Mm. There's a difference, I think, a distinction that needs to be made between the UFO phenomenon, or UAP, I guess is what all the cool kids call
the
now,
the
unidentified
term.
Aerial phenomena, whatever. Those, a lot of them can be identified as secret military craft, like the F-117 was a conspiracy theory until suddenly it appears in the Gulf War, or the B-2 bomber, same sort of thing.
That's right.
But the contactee and abductee phenomenon is something else again. People who believe they're being contacted by aliens, I'll put that in air quotes, or abducted. That is a spiritual phenomenon. That is very much like demonic oppression. In fact, a secular Harvard psychologist, Dr. John Mack, wrote years ago that the accounts of UFO, or rather, the accounts of abductees had more than 24 points of correlation with the stories, the experiences of those who endured satanic ritual abuse. Mm-hmm. More than 24 points. That's not coincidental. It's because it is a spiritual phenomenon. And our good friend Joe Jordan of CE4 Research Group, CE4, Close Encounters of the Fourth Kind, direct contact with entities. Mm. He learned, and again, this was when he admits he was a raging New Ager, that these encounters could be stopped by invoking the name of Jesus. Now, if these were literal entities coming from the stars, why would saying, "In Jesus' name, I rebuke you," make them suddenly stop?
That's right.
And that brought him to the Lord.
Mm. Wow. And I think Jacques Vallée found that too.
Amen.
This is not something that most in that community want to hear. In fact, heard from other researchers in the Mutual UFO Network, MUFON, that they knew about it, they just didn't want to talk about it because it doesn't fit the narrative that our space brothers are here and they're ready to help us ascend or whatever.
Wow.
Joe and others like him now are treating this as demonic possession and oppression, and helping people free themselves of this kind of attack. So, a lot of it is demonic. Mm-hmm. The physical manifestations, probably fallen angels. Mm. But they're trying to turn people away from the one thing that is true, which is Jesus Christ.
That's right. You know, the foreword in this book is by Dr. Thomas Horn. Mm. We love Dr. Tom Horn, their ministry. Joe Horn is doing a phenomenal job carrying Skywatch. Yeah. I want you to go support that ministry. It's a critical ministry for the time that we're living in. They're less than an hour away from here. They are family to us, and we love the Skywatch TV family. Yeah. But, you know, some things I love about this book, I'm going to just read off the back of this. It says, "The Day the Earth Stands Still Reveals," and it says some of the things it reveals. What led the world being primed for ET disclosure? What the government's involvement from the Roswell to today? The media's influence on extraterrestrial awareness? The role of mystical scientism in the UFO phenomenon. This says whether we can know the exact day these otherworldly beings will return and what we can do about it. Mm-hmm. That's all here in this book right here. I want you to go to jimbakershow.com or call us at 1-888-988-1588. And we have this in stock here.
Yes, that's right. It's in stock. It's available. And that's for a $15 donation to the ministry. So you're supporting the PTL Television Network, the voice of the prophets, along with just a handful of the Red Wing Saga. That's a six-book collection, novel collection that's available as well. 1-888-988-1588. Remember, you can also visit our website. That's jimbakershow.com to order your products as well.
You know, one of the big questions for me is, why is this being I don't know, preached from news desks all over the world that UFOs are real. Why now? Why are we being told that now?
I think it's because we're coming to a culmination of history, because it's not coincidental, in my view, that this is happening at the same time the world is turning against Israel.
That's right.
Wow.
No, so, I absolutely
we're just
that.
Seeing the confluence of a lot of events that seem disconnected, but we're seeing through, you know, three-dimensional physical eyes. We're not seeing 11 dimensions or however many of these entities operate in.
Amen.
The good news is that our Lord, who spoke all things into existence, operates in infinity dimensions.
Yes, infinite,
that's right. There is nothing outside. It's crazy because somebody once said that there is not a imagination or exaggeration that you can come up that would even begin to scratch the surface of who God is. So I took that as a challenge. I laid in bed one night and I thought, I'm going to find something that I can exaggerate about Jesus, something that I can exaggerate about God, the one who was there before there was nothing, and the one who will be there for eternity and eternity and eternity. And I'm telling you, my brain started to hurt. I thought, I can't even scratch the surface on what he can do. And friend, that is the same God who loves you.
No. Yes.
That is the same God who calls you son and daughter. That is the same God who calls you worthy, friend, through the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross. You know, we're living in what the world would call dark times. But Sharon, is there still hope? Is there still a hope for the believer and hope for the world?
Oh my gosh, that's the whole point of Bible prophecy, especially the book of Revelation and Daniel. You are shown what is about to happen and the glorious culmination of all prophecy throughout the Bible.
Amen.
Everything will be fulfilled. And I'll tell you what, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior,
Lord,
you will be regretting it.
Amen.
Because, first of all, not one of us is promised tomorrow.
That's right.
But if you are here when these things begin to take place, and they are already beginning to take place, trust me, when he appears on the Mount of Olives, you want to know him as your Savior before he says, I never knew you.
That's right. He better know you as well. That's right. Actively pursuing the Lord is vital. Derek, if there's someone who's watching today and they're not a believer, they don't know the Lord, what are the steps that someone needs to take? How does someone become a Christian if they don't know?
It's very simple. Just accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Proclaim that faith. In fact, 1 Corinthians 15, the first couple of verses, lay out the gospel by which we are being saved. It's very simple. Just understand that in fulfillment of the scriptures, Jesus died for your sins, and that in fulfillment of the scriptures, he rose again on the third day. Just accepting that simple historic fact. It is really simple, but it is so profound because it is a war against these evil intelligences. Call them aliens, call them fallen angels, call them demons. There are a lot of them out there who want to destroy you and everything that you love. But Jesus has already won that victory. All you need to do is just choose to be in his army, on the right side of history.
Amen. Friend, I want to encourage you with this today as we close the broadcast. You're not fighting for victory, friend. You're fighting from victory. It has already been won on the cross for you. Like Derek said so eloquently, so beautifully, all you have to do, believer, is accept it. Repent, believe the gospel, turn from your wicked ways, pursue the Lord all the days of your life. And I promise you, whenever you stand in front of the Lord that day, he'll say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Remember this, friend, that God loves you. He really does. Make sure to go get your books from jimbakershow.com, or you can call us at 1-888-988-1588. God bless you guys. Thank you, Derek and Sharon, for being on with us. God bless you. If you want to see more content like this, like, share, and subscribe, or go to watchjimbakershow.com.